This is a very personal sharing time today. And I hope that I can do it justice of what the Lord put on my heart to share with you. And I've called it When Things Go Very Wrong, and they can. What a week we had last week. We had the funeral of a loved one. We were victims of an unbelievable theft, a very near-death experience, if not death itself, of another loved one. And to top it all off, a very vital lesson for me in humility, all in the space of 1 week. I'm so thankful for God's mercy. Early Saturday morning, we arrived at the church to make the last few preparations for the lunch reception for about 100 family and friends of our loved one following the funeral services, at which Jim was going to be the officiant. We had previously shopped for all the food, set up all the tables and chairs, made sure everything was in order before we left here Friday evening, so that Saturday morning we could just put on the final finishing touches. I turned on the water in the kitchen sink to wipe up the counter before leaving for the funeral, and there was none. Not a drop of water. Jim went outside to explore the situation and see what he could find, and what he found was pretty unbelievable. Someone had cut the pipes at the ground level and stolen the entire water backflow preventer contraption. I don't know what else to call it, but contraption, so that works. So here we were, 1 hour before the funeral was to start. He was dirty, digging in the dirt out there, trying to figure out what's going on. And shortly thereafter, 100 people were due to show up here to eat, to use restrooms, to wash hands, to do whatever. Well, at this point, you should know that I was a whole lot of help in this situation. Bawling like a baby, I called the police to report the crime, shrieking to this poor lady, "How could somebody do this to a church on the day of a funeral?" And she said, "Calm down, we'll send somebody right away." Then I called my brother-in-law, and I was really bawling by this time. And he was thankfully very close by and said, "Debbie, be calm. I think I can bypass it and get water to the church." He said, "I'll be right there." At this time, Jim had just enough time to run home, get showered, and get back to the church so we could get to the funeral on time. I was sure this was going to be a fiasco. What would we tell the family, the 100 people that are expecting to do all those things with water? And in my head, I was already planning how we could move the reception to my house. I hadn't vacuumed. When Bob said, "Debbie, I got it ready. I can get this ready. I'm going to buy the parts, and I'll be back, and I can fix it." It was a miracle. Trust me, it was a miracle. The police arrived and asked Bob if he could identify a picture of the contraption, which he could because he was here and facilitated the installation of that contraption. The police asked him to identify it because the night before, they caught the thief red-handed with our contraption in his possession. He had been stealing these all over town for 2 months, and they'd been chasing him, and they caught him with our pipes. It really was a miracle. Bob went to Home Depot, he bought everything necessary to do the work, and he still got to the funeral on time. The reception went off without anyone being the wiser, because others stepped in and took over when we simply couldn't. Bob saved the day with the plumbing. Our cousins, Christy and Allie, picked up all the food from Costco and put it in the fridge. Then they and our friends Teresa and Jane, Henry's daughters, came back to the church early, To ensure that the food was all put out, everything was ready for the guests and the family, and they never knew. When I arrived and I saw everything was in its place, people were eating, mingling just like they should, remembering just like they should, and I sat down in a chair and just watched all this happening, crying tears of thankfulness that God made a way in an impossible situation. Words of thanks to the people who helped were inadequate, but I hope they all do know how very much we appreciated every gesture. God performed multiple miracles that day. The next day was Sunday, and whether you know it or not, we all witnessed a miracle in this place. We are also thankful that God answered prayer immediately and restored life to our precious sister Watson. I know that there are many questions about why, when, where, why did it happen this day? But those are in God's hands. It's up to Him. What we know is that He's given us more time with her, and we are so grateful. We pray for an easy recovery for her, and we cherish all the time that we have with her. God performed the miraculous in accordance with His spoken word. For if you remember, three times in the past 3 or 4 years, tongues and interpretation has come forth in this church that we would see the dead raised in this body, in this midst, in this church. And we witnessed that last week. And finally, the hard lesson in humility, which came a little later in the week. I have a friend who's publishing my blogs on her online women's magazine, and it's been a blessing to share these writings outside of our church body. But there's one thing about the magazine that really bugs me. And not only did it bug me, I was pretty sure my way would be better if she would just change this one thing. And yes, she will be reading this. She already has, and she's approved it. So I was going to write to her and share my suggestion about it just as soon as I got a minute to do it. Turn the page. So a few days ago, I sat down to share my thoughts. But before I did, I thought, you know, I really should check my latest blog. And when I did, I was absolutely stunned. There in the comment section below the blog was a comment from my beautiful niece, Lori. She had written me the most encouraging words, which, had my friend implemented my change, I would never have seen or known who wrote it. You see, my frustration point was that in order to leave a comment on this magazine for anybody's blog, because I'm not the only writer, you have to leave personal information. You have to leave your name, your email address, where you're from. And I really took offense at that. I didn't want to. I had gone on one of the other writers' blogs, and I was going to leave her an encouraging word until I saw that you have to put all your personal information in. But you see, had that not been the case, I would have never known Lori was the author of that beautiful comment that she left for me. When I read her comments, I felt so humbled and small. I saw so clearly how important it is that we do know who's writing these comments and why these questions are asked, and why my friend's way was so much better than mine. Perhaps most of all, now I have the necessary information to properly thank anyone who leaves a comment. After a good cry and prayer, and I prayed for all of us, for my friend, for the great blessings, for publishing this work of love, for Lori, for taking the time to read it as a young mom attending college, so very busy, and yet she took the time to write such encouraging words to me. And I prayed for forgiveness. I prayed for patience. I prayed for more love. And I recognized that I still am a progress, or excuse me, still am a work in progress. Remember that old kid's song, "He's Still Working on Me to Make Me What I Ought to Be"? 1 Peter 10:11 says, "The God of all grace, who called you unto his eternal glory in Christ, after that you've suffered for a while, shall himself perfect, establish, and strengthen you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen." In 2 Corinthians 12:9, he says, "My grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness." You hear that? Power, his power is perfected in our weakness. "Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may dwell in me." I'm very thankful today. I'm very grateful that I'm not too old, too weak, too anything to be perfected by the one who is perfection himself. And I want his power to dwell in me, to be perfected through my weaknesses.